Welcome to the Millennial Success Stories podcast, a space for millennial women entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, and those who dare to forge their own path. My name is Jackie Kossoff, and I'm a marketing strategist and success coach, multi-passionate entrepreneur, writer, traveler, and history lover. The mission of this podcast is to uplift, inspire, and empower young women to create a life that reflects their own version of success. I believe in sharing our experiences so we may learn from one another and grow together as a community. In season 3, I invite you to join us as we peel back the layers of success and discover what it truly looks like to create success in our businesses and lives. If you're ready to take the next step in your journey and grow your own marketing business, I encourage you to sign up for a Success Breakthrough Call, where we'll have the opportunity to connect personally. Now, without any further ado, for those of you ready to write your own success stories, let us begin. And always remember, success has no age requirement. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Millennial Success Stories podcast. I am so excited to share this episode with you today. My guest for this episode is Angela Choi. She is a life purpose and career coach for professionals who are looking to bring more meaning and purpose into their lives as they create an impact in the world. So Angela shares so many insights from her own journey, which I personally found so incredibly relatable for anyone who's been, you know, in their 20s or even in their 30s and just looking for meaning in life, like kind of trying to find yourself, you know, those sorts of things. I think that Angela's story will really resonate. So, you know, Angela was in the corporate space, startup space, and nonprofit space looking for what resonated with her most. She also traveled the world, both as part of her jobs and also for volunteer work. And so she's really able to speak from experience, her personal experience, not just her experience as a coach, about how to find our meaning in our occupation. So whether that's our job, whether that is our business, whatever that looks like for you, Angela has something in this episode that I am so confident will resonate with you. So that's a little bit about what you're going to hear in this episode. And before we dive in, I do want to invite you to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Reviews really help us reach so many more listeners who would benefit from this show. So I just wanted to thank you so much for all your support. And without any further ado, let's get into my conversation with Angela.
Hi, Angela. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited for you to be here and share with us your story. So why don't you start us off and just tell us a little bit about yourself and your business and kind of your journey up to this point. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I am a life purpose and career coach. I help professionals who feel stuck or unfulfilled to really tap into and discover their purpose so that they can have both the impact and the income that they want. And a lot of my work stems from my own personal experiences and lessons learned over 10 years of trying to find my purpose in the corporate, startup, and nonprofit worlds across the US, Asia, Africa, and Europe. And the whole time that I was trying to find my purpose, I dealt a lot with self-judgment, familial pressure, societal expectations. And so with all of the lessons that I've learned, I really feel like it's my mission to empower people to live a little more authentically and to live a little more courageously and to do the things that really make them happy, because I feel like the world would just be a much more beautiful place if people did so. Because when one person's able to do that, basically that person gives other people permission to do the same because other people feel inspired by that person. And so my mission is to create a ripple effect.
I love that. I think that's so beautiful and beautifully put too. So I would love if you could tell us a little more about that 10-year journey. Kind of what did that look like? I know you basically went to multiple continents, so I really want to hear about that. Just like kind of, you know, what inspired that, and then, you know, what did you discover about yourself along the way?
Yeah, so this goes back to when I was in college. And when I was in college, I was very much in the nonprofit space. I knew that I wanted to do work where I could positively impact people. So I spent a lot of I think all of my summers in college interning for nonprofits. And then right before graduating, I just started thinking very rationally and logically about what post-grad life would be like. And there was a lot of, I guess, external pressure that I also internalized to start making a lot of money. I come from a low-income Chinese immigrant family. And so, with that pressure that I also internalized, I decided to do a 180, and I went into the corporate world instead, working in consulting. And I was working for financial institutions at that time, multinational banks. And I quickly realized that it wasn't for me. And so that's when I made a pivot into the healthcare sector, working for a healthcare startup. A behavioral healthcare startup. And it was a lot more aligned to what it is that I had studied in college, which was psychology. And I was there for a while, but then the startup started scaling and it became more corporate. And so I felt like it was no longer aligned to what it is that I wanted. And I wasn't entirely sure what it is that I wanted to do next, and I didn't feel like it was a good idea to just jump into another job for the sake of having a job. And at the same time, I was scared of leaving my job because of all of the security that comes with having a full-time job, the financial security, all like having an answer to the question of, so what do you do when that pops up in conversations, especially in a place like New York City. And I was really scared, but I decided to quit my job, and I didn't have anything lined up despite the fears, because I felt like it was the right thing to do, because I wanted to take some time to figure out what it is that I truly wanted. And for me, that was a process of trying things, seeing what aligned, what didn't align, and taking that information and iterating on that, right? So when I left my job at the healthcare startup, I basically ended up taking a year doing all the things that I've always wanted to do, but didn't have the chance to do because I had a 9-to-5 job. And so I started that year doing some public policy work in the realm of education, because I was trying to figure out if I want to get a master's in public policy. And that informed me, that experience helped inform the fact that no, I actually don't want an MPP. Maybe it makes more sense to apply for MBA, because if I have an MBA, I can still go down the policy track. But if I get an MPP, my options are a little more limited, right? So that's I ended up applying to business school that year, but decided not to go because ultimately I felt like that wasn't aligned to what it is that I wanted. I feel like a big part of the reason why I applied to business school is because I didn't necessarily know what it is that I wanted to do, and I felt like it would have been more socially acceptable to be in school and not know versus not knowing and kind of floundering. But I don't think that was a strong enough reason. And with hindsight, I'm so glad that I decided not to go to business school. But in that year, after the public policy fellowship, I also went to Zimbabwe and I served as an agribusiness consultant, trying to see if I could leverage my consulting and operational experiences in the international development realm. I did that for a little bit. And then I also worked as a writer and photographer on a cruise ship that sailed around Southeast Asia and Oceania, because I was also trying to figure out, oh, maybe I can really tap into my writing skills. And I also realized that that wasn't for me. And then another thing I did was I led trips for adults with developmental disabilities, because I wanted to merge my love of traveling with this, my love of helping people. And so these were some of the major things that I did within that year. And after the year wrapped up, I felt like I was in a position where I knew what I didn't want to do, but I didn't necessarily know what it is that I wanted to do. But I sat and I reflected on all of these experiences, And it occurred to me that a common thread was that basically I had either worked for or volunteered for or completed fellowships with nonprofit organizations. And I felt like because I had started out in the corporate world, I thought maybe the next best move for me right now is to transition back into the nonprofit world, which is the world that I was in college. And so after that year, I moved on to a nonprofit doing program management for them. And it was there that I recognized that, you know, nonprofit organizations do good work. However, you don't know when the money is going to come in. And when it does come in the form of a grant, sometimes there's stipulations as to what you can do with the money. And so I still felt like there were limitations to working for a nonprofit. And it occurred to me that if I want to help people the way that I want to help people, if I want to have the impact that I want to have, it doesn't matter if I work for a corporation or a startup or a nonprofit. Really, the only way around that is to branch off and start something on my own so that I can set my own rules and do things the way that I want to do them. And that's how I ventured onto the entrepreneurial path as a life purpose and career coach.
Oh my gosh. Okay. There is quite a bit that I want to ask you from that. Thank you so much. That sounds honestly like an amazing journey. Oh my gosh. So let's see. So the first thing I would like to ask you, because I'm sure that we have listeners who feel this way. I know I felt this way, like at various points of my journey. I think that even now I still sometimes feel this way, you know, that external pressure that we get from, you know, people around us, whether that be our family, our friends, society in general. How do you handle kind of, you know, figuring out what's truly what you want versus like, you know, what this external pressure is, you know, is telling you? Like, what sort of advice would you give to, you know, a client or a friend or someone?
That's a really good question. I think it's also a very important one because I see this a lot. And what I just discussed with you is that sometimes the lines become blurry because what was once an external force or voice becomes internalized, and sometimes it's hard to separate. But I think a good gauge would be to think about how you're feeling about what it is that you're doing. How do you feel day to day about your job, or just how you feel in general? Like when you wake up, how do you feel? I think that's such a good gauge as to whether or not you're aligned to what it is that you're truly meant to be doing. And it's actually very simple when you think about it. It's like, if you wake up and you're not excited to start the day and you're kind of just like, here goes another day, that's probably a telltale sign that you're not enjoying the work that you're doing. And if you're not enjoying the work that you're doing, it begs the larger question of like, why don't you enjoy the work? How could you enjoy the work? What is it that you want to do next? And the flip side of that is like, if you do wake up feeling excited, ready to start your day, excited for what is ahead, then I think that's a good gauge that you're doing what it is, or at least you're on track to do what it is that you're meant to do. So I would really advise people to tune into their feelings, right? And I think that the other thing that I would advise is for people to start, you know, a mindfulness practice, and that can look differently for people. Sometimes it's meditation. Sometimes it's sitting with a cup of coffee or cup of tea when you can just be present with yourself. And when you're fully present in a moment, what ends up happening is that your thoughts will come at you, right? But because you're present, you'll start recognizing, hey, like my thoughts are here. Because actually what people do, we numb ourselves out from our thoughts, right? By scrolling through social media, by relying on, you know, external forms of entertainment. But when we're fully present, the thoughts will come, and then we'll recognize, hey, what is actually in our mind? And then we know what problem we're trying to solve for, because we're aware of the thoughts that are coming. And so I encourage people not to be afraid of the thoughts that are coming, and to just acknowledge, hey, I have this thought, like, what can I do with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's, Mindfulness is always such a great place to start, you know, and just figuring out, like, yeah, because I think sometimes we get ourselves in those positions where things get so convoluted, like we're just doing what we've done, right? Like, it's like that day to day kind of like autopilot, not even like asking ourselves, like, am I truly enjoying this? You know, kind of what's going on. And so I think that's just so key. So thank you for sharing. My next question is, what advice do you have for people who maybe listening and maybe like, you know, I just don't even know where to start in terms of like searching for my purpose or searching for what I even enjoy doing. You know, what kind of advice would you have for them?
Yeah. So I have a guide on my website, 6 Steps to Living Your Purpose, which I'm happy to give a quick run through. And I also advise people, if they're a visual person, to go to my website and they can also read through it as well. That's at angelachoy.co. And so the first step of this 6-step process is what I just described earlier, which is to be present and be still in the present mm-hmm. moment, right? So that you can ground yourself and be aware of the thoughts that you're having. Then the second step is to reflect on your past, which is to think about the things that you enjoyed, the things that piqued your interest, the things that you have been good at in the past. And the past can be anything from high school, middle school, and even when you were a kid. I think the earlier, the better, because when we were children, that was when we were the most uninhibited, because we cared less about what other people thought of us. And we were just doing things because we wanted to. And so to tune into that and remind yourself of the things you enjoy, the things that make doing things, those things again, start exploring those interests again, right? And thinking about how can you bring that, pull that back into the present, right? The third step is to align with your values. Understand what your top 3 to 5 values are, because when you know what you stand for, anytime you're at a crossroads, anytime that you need to make a decision, if you know what your values are, you can figure out, how does option A or option B align or not align with my values? And I think that will guide people towards their true north or the path that they're really meant to walk on. And then after that, step 4 is to do without your inner critic, which is a tall order, because we all have an inner critic, and it's usually, we are our own worst enemies. And I think that one thing that's really helpful in regards to the, you know, doing without your inner critic is to give your inner critic a name, so that you can understand that you are not your inner critic, and you can disassociate from the thoughts that your inner critic is telling you. And so my inner critic, her name is Corella. So when thoughts come up that don't serve me, I just understand that, oh, that's my inner critic speaking, but that's not me, because I'm the one that's aware that the thoughts have popped up, right? And so when you are able to recognize the thoughts that don't serve you, the thoughts that are holding you back, then the next step, step 5, is to dream big. What would you want your life to look like if you didn't have fears holding you back? What would you want your life to look like if money were of no concern, right? And it's easier to dream big when you have muffled your inner critic, because they think that most people find it hard to dream big because they don't think it's possible for them. But the reason why they don't think it's possible for them is because their inner critic is like, you know, what makes you think that you can do that? Like, that's a pipe dream. That's so far away. Like, look at where you are now. And we don't need that inner critic when we're dreaming, right? And then the final step is to take consistent and steady action towards your dreams, right? Because anyone can have a vision, anyone can have a dream, but you need to act on your dream, your vision, in order to make things come into fruition, right? And that means taking steady and consistent action to work towards what it is that you want. So in a nutshell, that's my 6 steps to living your purpose. And again, that's also available on my website for people to read through.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing that. We will link to that in the show notes as well, so that people can go and get that resource and really start working through it themselves. Thank you so much. I feel like we've gotten into some really awesome things, and I sort of want to shift our conversation to kind of like my staple questions that I ask on this podcast. Yeah. So let's start off my absolute favorite question to ask my guests. What is your personal definition of success?
My personal definition of success is, I guess it's twofold. One is to have inner peace. And a big part of that is just accepting myself and accepting what is at any given moment, because if I have that, regardless of the external circumstances, which are subject to change on the daily, I have something that cannot be taken away from me, right? So inner peace and acceptance are really important to me. And I think that the second thing is just happiness. Living each day, choosing to be happy. And I think that that's also very much tied in with inner peace, because it's very easy to think that, like, I'll be happy when this happens, I'll be happy when that happens, or when I have this, or when I have that, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. But how empowering and powerful is it to say, I'm going to be happy regardless of what the external circumstances are, right? I think that those two things are really important. That's what I want my life to be about.
Okay, I know that's amazing and so powerful for us to think about. Like, I really like that quote, like, happiness is a choice, like, really, really resonates with me and has for the last few years, ever since I sort of figured out what that meant. Because I feel like, you know, when I was younger, I didn't know what that meant. I was like, what do you mean? Like, it's a choice.
It's a practice. I definitely think that it's a practice. And I think that, so that that's my answer from a spiritual perspective. Mm-hmm. I think that also what is also important to me, and this is why I do the work that I do, is that I also want to be able to leverage my skills and gifts and talents to help people. I find that to be very meaningful. And again, if I can make an impact on one person's life and they can go out and do things differently and they create a ripple effect, I think that that's also a definition of success. Mm-hmm. Because life is about the people around us. It's about, we're all connected, right? Yeah. And that's really important to me as well.
Okay. Lovely. Okay. So in terms of what you've done so far, what do you consider your biggest successes? Like, and this could be in business, this could be in life. What does that look like for you?
Yeah. I think that I would say that every time that I made a decision that aligned with what it is that I truly wanted to do, and the times that I've done that, is always something that was very scary. Like I mentioned, when I quit my job without having another one lined up, to me, that is a success in my book, because I went against the grain of things. Like, you know, no one around me would have didn't encourage me to quit my job, right? Like, logically, it didn't make sense, right? But I listened to my heart. And I think that in doing that, for me, that's how my path unfolded. And so I see those as little successes along the way that have made me who I am. I think that becoming an entrepreneur is something that has been very meaningful for me. And I also feel very proud of that, because several years ago, this is what I wanted to do, but I didn't know how to get there, mm-hmm. right? Like, it seemed like a pipe dream. And the fact that I'm doing it now, I'm very proud of, because I had to work through a lot of mindset shifts about how I saw myself and how I can contribute to the world in order to be here, on top of working through all of the external forces that, especially like my family, that they don't understand why I've made the choices that I've made. And for them, it's like, oh, why would you leave the corporate world when you could just be climbing this known ladder, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so much financial stability and security and prestige. And to walk away from that and continue walking on my own path is something that I define as success. So there's so many ways to define it, but I think another definition for me is to follow your heart, to do the things that really speak to you, even if other people don't understand, if other people don't agree, because ultimately it's your life and we only have one life to live and there's no dress rehearsal. And I feel like at the end of the line, most people, they don't regret the things that they did do. They regret the things that they didn't do. They regret the person that they didn't become. And so I hold on to that very dearly. And so I'm always very cognizant of like, how do I make decisions that really align with me, my values, and the way that I want to live my life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, really, really powerful things to think about. Thank you for that. Yeah. For those who are, back where you were when you thought that, being an entrepreneur was, a pipe dream and, what that looked like what advice would you give to, these young women who are, kind of starting out, and they just don't really know, if they can do it?
Yeah. I think the first thing that I would invite people to think about is, what are you good at? Right. And this is a very seemingly simple question, but I think that there's a lot to unpack there, because I find that I've definitely gone through this. I've seen other people go through this. Sometimes we're not aware of what we're naturally good at because it comes to us naturally. So we take it for granted, like, oh, if I'm doing this, but it comes to me easily, like that's not really a skill because it just comes so naturally, right? Or you don't see things that other people see in you, right? And so it's important to give yourself credit for what comes to you naturally. That's still something you're good at. It's important to get outsider perspective of like what other people see about you and your contributions so that you can start cataloging these things, right? Because ultimately, I think that to be an entrepreneur, what's important is to work towards a cause that you're passionate about, and then to merge that with things that you're good at, and then start monetizing on it, right? Like, I think those are important to focus on versus like, yes, the monetizing aspect is important, but I also believe that if you do what you love and you're good at it and you enjoy it, like the money will come. Mm-hmm. So I think the first step is like getting clear on like the value that you can bring to this world and then start flushing that out.
Yeah. I think those are super, super important steps to keep in mind, especially because, I know entrepreneurs who, they get started and, if they're focused too much on that monetization piece and not the, do I love this piece? Then, sometimes you end up building a business that you end up resenting. And, that's never a good position to be in because, you essentially, you need to figure out first of all, how to essentially either shut down this business or, transition into something that is, not burning you out, that you love to do. And that, also makes you money. Right. So if ultimately your goal is to, support yourself and have, financial freedom and, go beyond that. And so you can do that with something that you don't like, and you can also do that with something you like. So thank you so much for those action steps. I think that that's so good for us to keep in mind. So I would love to know what you see as your like next level of success. So this could be in life, this could be in business, you know, kind of like where you're at now versus like, you know, what you want to accomplish moving forward.
Yeah, I think that, so my next level of success is to be able to scale in terms of the impact that I have and in terms of the number of people I'm reaching. So right now, you know, I provide one-on-one coaching, which is, I think, super helpful for people because they're getting like laser focused and there's a lot of attention. And I want to get to a point where I can impact more people through different offerings, one of which would be like group coaching. And that just allows more people to come through to work with me. And so there's more, you can create a larger ripple effect when you're working with more people, right? So like, that's something that I have in mind for my business. And then I guess tied to that, as my business is growing, I'm also like on a personal level, trying to figure out how to do this in a way that I can blend this with the lifestyle of a digital nomad. So also figuring that out and doing this within the parameters of COVID. So really, because I mean, I've done a lot of exploration in the last, you know, like I mentioned, 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be able to continue traveling and continue exploring as I'm building my business.
Yeah. Yeah. No, love that. Are there any, just for fun question, are there any just like destinations that you kind of have on your list that, you know, once we're able to travel again, you know, that you would like to explore?
Yeah, so I'm currently in Mexico right now. So I'm kind of, I've been playing it by ear. Just, I'm here right now because I've been to Mexico before, haven't been to this particular city before, but that was like my level of comfort in terms of like what's going on with COVID. Like I wanted to be somewhere at least where I had some sort of familiarity. So again, I'm just balancing, my desire to travel with what is realistic and what is, I guess, also what makes sense in terms of like how comfortable I am with everything that's going on, just being mindful of the COVID situation. But if it weren't for COVID, I would probably be in India or Bali, but that's just like way out of the question right now. So I will leave that for when, you know, there is more of a sense of normalcy and when COVID is more of a, hopefully a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Let's see. So is there a certain experience or, you know, part of your journey that you want to share to, I don't know, just, it could be a lesson. It could be, you know, something that you, just that you feel would bring value to, you know, to other young women who are, you know, walking their own journeys.
Yeah, I think that the first thing that comes to mind is that I always want to tell people that you can always reinvent yourself. I think that that's really important. I think that, again, the thing that holds people back are their thoughts, right? And usually the thought is like, oh, I'm too old, or I'm going to be behind because if I start over again, maybe I have to start closer to the bottom, but you know, I'm already here and maybe it just makes sense for me to continue. But it doesn't make sense for you to continue something that's not working for you, right? Like eventually something's going to give. And so why not do it sooner, right? So I want to tell people that they can always reinvent themselves, that if you need permission from someone to do it, I'm here to give you permission, because I think that sometimes people feel like they need permission in all seriousness because of the people around them who are not giving them the permission, whether it's, their family, whether it's their partner, whether it's their peers or whoever it may be, right? And so I guess I also want to highlight this because I know it's true because I've lived it. I've gone from financial services to healthcare to nonprofit to being a coach now. And in between, I've done international development work. I've been a writer. So it's like anything that you want to do, if your conviction is strong enough, you can do it. That's what I want to share with people. It doesn't matter if you're 20, you're 30, you're 40, you're 70. More power to you if you're 70 and you want to do something you've never done before. That's how I think life should be lived. That like anything that speaks to you, go and do it. Like it doesn't matter what other people are doing if they're quote unquote ahead of you. We're just all on different timelines. We're all on different journeys. Our lives are different and they're meant to be different. Like we're not meant to be like the person next to us. But I think that there are thoughts about where we quote unquote should be because of social media and the way that society depicts these artificial timelines, especially for women. I mean, I think especially for women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I absolutely love that answer. Like, I think that it's reinventing yourself. I mean, yeah, like it's like I think there's so much out there, like, you know, making us think that we can't do that, like we have to be one thing, and or that it's too late or that it's too like early or this or that. And you know, when you were talking, it reminded me of you know, one of my dad's clients. My dad's an attorney, and you know, he had a client who at the age of 90 started writing novels. So, and you know, it's unfortunately this client did pass away recently, but, you know, before he passed, he passed at like 102 or something, like, you know, he,
amazing.
Yeah. And in that time he wrote 5 novels, like from the time he was 90 to the time that he was, you know, 102 or whatever it was, he wrote 5 novels, and they've been published and, you know, and like, and sold and, you know, all that stuff. And so I think it's just, you know, a really beautiful example of how we really are never too old to reinvent ourselves, and we can always do, you know, we can always do something new. And I think, yeah, it's kind of like part of our journeys. So
100%.
Yeah.
I think that, so the thing is, the other thing I want to say about all of this is if you don't do it, time is going to pass anyway. So why not make good use of that time and do it? Because time's going to pass, and then it's going to be a year, 2 years down the road, and then you're going to wish that you started a year or two ago, right? So just do it now.
Yeah, I know, kind of like that saying. I, for some reason, I hate this saying, but it's like, you know, the one that's like, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, and then like the second best time is now. I don't know why. I've just always had an issue with that saying. I'm just like, that's so depressing, like when you think about it. But like, no, but I mean, like, you know, the what it's saying is true, you know, like if you don't start, like it's never gonna happen. And you know, and I know that's something I've also been, you know, working through on, you know, on my journey. You know, I'm working on a number of other projects right now, aside from, you know, my marketing agency, and, you know, just accepting that, like, you know, even though I might like, or the idea that I'm going too slow, you know, with these other things, like, that's something that, like, you know, I think, you know, taken from that external, right? Like this idea that we should be able to do everything like super quickly and like, you know, and just like accomplish everything and whatnot, and like, you know, internalized it. And so really kind of working through that and, you know, getting to that point where you realize that like, no matter how quote unquote fast or slow you may be going, the important thing is that you keep working toward the things that you really want and the things that you really value in your life.
100%. And I can definitely, I relate to the feeling of like, am I moving fast enough? And ultimately what that comes down to is being in a state of comparison, because there would be no marker of like speed if you weren't comparing it to like someone else's benchmark. Mm-hmm. And so I think the only way around that is to compare yourself to who you were yesterday or a year ago or 5 years ago. And that is, I think, indicative of your progress and how, you know, quickly or slowly one is moving. And I think that the other thing I want to say about that is like, Sometimes things may appear to be moving, quote unquote, slowly, but there are things that are happening that are not necessarily tangible, right? So the mindset shifts are not necessarily tangible. Sometimes the choices that we make don't result in tangible outcomes right away, right? But it doesn't mean that we're not evolving or growing as people. And I think that this also speaks to the type of culture that we live in, where, you know, everything is just so in your face on social media. Mm-hmm. And we are very much in this productivity culture. But just because we don't produce something or there isn't a tangible outcome, it doesn't mean that we're not making progress. And that's something that I also want to remind people of. Because if anyone needs to hear it again, social media is just another individual's highlight reels, and we don't know what's happening on the back end. So it's not conducive to compare like what's happening on your back end to someone's highlight reels. And I feel like it's helpful for people to be reminded of that, mm-hmm. and to honor the progress that they're making, even if it's not something that can be posted on social media. And to honor the progress in yourself, mm-hmm. to honor yourself and your journey, because there's no one else like you in this world. Whoever is listening to this, you are the only you in this world, in a world of 7.8 billion people. And please, like, stand in that, like, stand in your power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man. It's amazing. Just one last thing before I kind of have us wrap up. When you were talking, it sort of reminded me earlier on in my business, for the first year or so, I would write down like my own accomplishments, like things that I wasn't sharing on social media. I would write those down on like little notes and kind of pin them up. I called it my accomplishment board. and so that was like, you know, yeah, when I would do back end stuff, like things that like, you know, I wasn't necessarily telling other people. And you know, I stopped doing that. And I've been wondering recently, like, you know, kind of like, why did I stop doing that? You know, like, because it is helpful, especially, you know, when we live in a world where, you know, it's like, you know, you're sharing your highlights, you're sharing all these things, but there's a bunch of stuff about your life that you, you know, you can't share because it's just like private, or it's like in the moment, or, you know, something. And so, yeah, so I just wanted to mention that in case anybody wanted to start doing that themselves. Like, and even if that's like writing it down in a notebook, I know some people who have told me that they do that. They have like, you know, a page in a notebook that they just write down their accomplishments that they're celebrating for themselves and not necessarily sharing with the world. Yeah. So why don't you tell us, you know, where we can find you? I know you mentioned your website. We're going to have all that amazing stuff in the show notes, but where else can people connect with you?
Yeah. My website would be my biggest thing. So that's AngelaChoi.co, C-H-O-I.co. And then Instagram would be also AngelaChoi.co. And then Facebook would be Angela Choi Coaching.
Awesome. Amazing. Thank you so much, Angela. This has been wonderful.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Millennial Success Stories podcast. I would love to invite you to join our growing community of fellow millennial women entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs inside our free Facebook group, the Millennial Success Society. I also love connecting with fellow women entrepreneurs on Instagram. Find me at JackieKossoff_LA. Feel free to send me a DM with any suggestions for future episodes or questions you'd like answered on the show. For all the latest show updates, exclusive resources for our listeners, or to apply to become a guest on the show, please visit the Millennial Success Stories podcast page on my website at www.JackieKossoff.com/podcast. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll catch you next time.